Tell me the story of Jesus. Write on my heart every word. Tell me the story most precious, sweetest that ever was heard. Tell how the angels in chorus sang as they welcomed his birth. Glory to God in the highest. Peace, good tidings to earth. Enter Dr. Luke. And it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. This taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria. And all went to be taxed, every man into his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, into Judea, under the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. And they are in the same country, shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them. And they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. Ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, on earth peace, goodwill toward men. There is a name I love to hear. I love to sing its worth. It sounds like music in my ear, the sweetest name on earth. Jesus is the sweetest name I know, and he's just the same as his lovely name, and that's the reason why I love him so. Take the name of Jesus with you, child of sorrow and of woe. It will joy and comfort give you. Take it then, where'er you go. All hail the power of Jesus' name. Let angels prostrate fall. Bring forth the royal diadem and crown him Lord of all. Ye chosen seed of Israel's race, ye ransomed from the fall. Hail him who saves you by his grace and crown him Lord of all. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore, God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven, of things in earth, of things under the earth, and every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. What a wonderful Savior is Jesus my Lord. What a wonderful Savior to me. And what a wonderful privilege it is to be in God's house today on this Christmas Eve 2017. The goodness of God is all around us, ladies and gentlemen. And the guardian angel, we're keeping him very busy these days, by the way. Pastor from Florida called me that saw it on the picture on the Facebook. I told him what one of the nurses that was holding my hand as I laid on the ground outside the red. Mister, she said, Your guardian angel was in that car. And the preacher said, no, there was a multitude of angels in your car. Praise God for his grace and mercy and goodness. It's a wonderful privilege, Pastor. Thank you for the privilege. And I don't take it for granted that you permitted me to be the preacher today. Well, the engines are all revved up. The runway is clear. Let's get airborne. What do you say? Open your Bible. By the way, did I tell you? When we open the Bible opens the mind of God. Let's see what God's thinking about in the prophecy of Isaiah, chapter number 9. As you're finding your place in the 9th chapter of the book of Isaiah, I should remind you again, as sure as night follows day, day follows night, God still lives, and the Bible is right. All scripture is given by inspiration of God, and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God which liveth and abideth forever. All flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man as the flower of grass. The grass withereth, the flower thereof falleth away, but the word of the Lord endureth forever. For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. I'm glad it's settled right here on earth in this wonderful book we call the Bible. Inspired, infallible, inerrant, impeccable, indestructible, powerful, and precious, and perfect, and pure, and pontifical, and preserved for us in our own language in the King James Version. What a wonderful book. I'm going to read from this timeless book, Isaiah chapter 9, verse number 2, verse number 6, and verse number 7. And I shall read after we pray. Our Father, we are indeed grateful for thy kindness and blessings and mercy. We thank thee for what the Christmas season brings to our hearts and minds. We pray that we never lose sight of the true meaning of it all as we celebrate the coming of our Lord Jesus into flesh to dwell among us. I pray that you speak to every heart this morning. Those that are searching for peace and happiness and joy, may they find it in Jesus Christ today. Those, dear God, that have a prayer burden, they're heavy, some despondent and some depressed, some discouraged and disheartened and disillusioned. Some, dear Lord, just don't know how to find their way. May they find it in Christ today. In his name I ask it with thanksgiving. Amen. Isaiah chapter number 9, verse number 2. The people that walked in darkness have seen a great light. They that dwell in the land of the shadow of death, upon them hath a light shined. Verse 6 says, for unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace there shall be no end, upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom, to order it and to establish it with judgment and with justice from henceforth even forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. Ladies and gentlemen, if I were to ask every person in this congregation this question, what is the first word that comes to your mind when you hear the word Christmas? I'm certain that most, if not all of you, would say Christ, and you would be right. For Christmas is all about Christ, and Christ is all about Christmas. Once you take Christ out of Christmas, you have nothing left. If I ask you what would be the second word, you would probably say gifts. And again, you would be right on target. For truly, Christmas is the season of giving. We have a classic example of it in the New Testament, in the Gospel according to Matthew, where the wise men came from a distant, far country, probably Arabia. Their products that they brought with them were Arabia. They came from that distant country following a star and into the city of Jerusalem. And their conversation with King Herod, by the way, they did not come to see King Herod arrayed in his royal apparel. They came seeking the newborn king. Later, the star moved again. And Matthew tells us in his second chapter that it stood right over the house. Now follow this very carefully. The wise men coming was not a manger scene. Christ may have been 8, 10 months old, maybe a year old. Matthew tells us that he stood over the house where the young child was. He continues to tell us in his narrative that when they went into the house, they found the young child with his mother Mary. And they fell down, now watch this, and worshiped him. Underscore him. They did not worship her. I'm sure they showed all respect to Mary. But there's no reason that anyone should worship Mary. She was a sinful person like every member of Adam's race. But God saw in her something through which he could bring his son into the human race. And the Bible says, when they had opened their change purses. No. When they had opened their treasures, they gave unto him gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh. Gold, a symbol of royalty. Jesus is the royal Son of God. Frankincense, deity. He's the divine one. And myrrh, humanity, suffering humanity, for he suffered as no one else did, bearing our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sin, should live unto righteousness. Notice they said to Herod, we have seen his star, underscore those two words, his star. Would you follow me on this? Out of all the trillions and trillions and trillions of stars that lit up the night sky, they saw one that shone brighter than all the rest, and they called it his star, like Numbers chapter 24 and verse 17 identifies it as the star out of Jacob. We have seen his star in the east, and we have come to worship him. During these days of Christmas, we are buying, wrapping, giving, and receiving gifts. All of us are consumed with the giving and especially with the receiving. There's not a person in this room who hadn't rather receive than to give. But you know, that's contrary to what Jesus said. Do you know what Jesus said? By the way, Paul quoted Jesus. He loved to quote Jesus too. I'm in line with Paul. I love to quote Jesus. He quoted Jesus as saying, this is recorded in Acts 20 and verse 35. As the Lord has said, Paul said, it is more blessed to give than it is to receive. Wow. Whether we're 6 or 60, 8 or 80, 9 or 90, we love to receive. But don't you think it's about time we got on the giving side of things? You know what, in time, and it won't be long, many of these beautifully wrapped gifts will lose their glitter and they will soon be forgotten. But the Christmas gifts that God gives us will never lose their meaning or their value, nor do we discard them. Rather, we embrace them. We love them. We cherish them. We tell others about them. I've entitled this message, God's Christmas Gifts That Keep On Giving. Annie Johnson Flint wrote, His love has no limit. His grace has no measure. His power no boundary known unto men. For out of His infinite riches in Jesus, He giveth and giveth and giveth again. Gift number one, the gift of light. In the early stages of creation, God spoke light into a dark world. I give you Moses' commentary in Genesis chapter 1. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. And God said, please mark these next just four words. God said, let there be light. And the next four words say, and there was light. Ladies and gentlemen, wherever God is accepted and respected, there's light. 1 John 1:5 says, God is light, and in Him is no darkness at all. On the other side of that coin, when God is refused and rejected, there's darkness, outer darkness, impenetrable darkness, thick darkness. Have you ever been to Carlsbad Cavern? That's probably the nearest thing to what the outer darkness may be. My wife and I were there a few years ago. She was very brave. It didn't bother her too much. She's used to darkness. Oh, I'm just kidding. But when we got down in the room that they call the King of the Palace, everything got still. They turned the lights out. Wow. You cannot literally see your hand in front of your face. I read about the little boy who was taken by his older sister into the caverns. They got into the King of Palace room, 765 feet below the ground level. And the little boy began crying, weeping aloud. And she tried to hush him up. He just kept on crying. And she said, buddy, stop crying. There's somebody here who knows where the lights are. Well, thank God in our dark world, we know the one who is the light. And He's brought light into our dark hearts. In verse 2 of my text, the people that walked in darkness have seen a great light. They that dwell in the land of the shadow of death, upon them the light hath the light shine. Who is this great light? None other but Jesus Christ. He's God's gift. He's light. John 1:4 puts it this way, in Him was life, and the life was the light of men, and the light shineth in the darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not, laid hold not upon it, did not extinguish it. Ladies and gentlemen, all the darkness that the demons in hell can produce from outer darkness cannot dim the light of Jesus Christ. I want to tell you, this same light in the face of the baby Jesus that lit up the manger in the city of Bethlehem can light up your life in the city of Fort Worth. Listen to what quoting Jesus again. Already, Paul and me. I'm not putting myself in Paul's class. Don't misunderstand me. But he loved to quote Jesus. Maybe that's where I got it from. John 8:12. Listen to what Jesus said. I am the light of the world. The world? Yes, the whole inhabited earth. Well, how could that be? He never traveled but about 100 miles from his home. He only visited 18 villages and cities during his lifetime. And yet he said, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. Ladies and gentlemen, this light is God's Christmas gift to you. And it is the gift that keeps on giving and giving and giving. Gift number two, the gift of joy. By the way, the word joy appears 158 times in the Bible. In this ninth chapter at verse 3, I read, they joy before thee according to the joy in harvest. And as men rejoice when they divide the spoil. The prophet uses two examples of joy and rejoicing. First is the farmer who in the time of harvest rejoices when he brings in his crop. The other is the warrior who rejoices when he brings home the spoils of war. Can I get personal for a moment? How much of the Bible have you read during the year 2017? How much have you read lately? I would encourage you, read the Psalms. Read the books of prophecy. Read the Gospels. Read the epistles. You know what? You will discover many expressions of joy that God brought into the world as his Christmas gift to you. Joy. In the announcement of Jesus' birth, the angel of the Lord dispelled the fear in the hearts of the shepherds and at the same time instilled joy in them. You heard it a while ago from verse 9 of Luke 2. The Bible says that when those shepherds down there in the shepherd fields, the angel of the Lord came upon them. And the glory of the Lord shone round about them. And they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. My friend, Jesus Christ brings us multiplied gifts of joy. He brings us the joy of experiencing the love of God. 1 John 4:10 says, herein is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us. He brings us the joy of salvation by grace through faith. Paul wrote it in Ephesians chapter 2 at verse 8, for by grace are you saved, through faith. And that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. He brings us the joy of worshiping the Lord in the beauty of holiness. What a wonderful thing it is to gather in the beauty of holiness, to bow before the God of the universe while angels are surrounding his throne, and we worship him in the beauty of holiness. He brings us the joy of serving the Lord with gladness. Psalm 100, make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Know ye that he is God. It is he that hath made us and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him and bless his name. For the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting and his truth endureth to all generations. Most of you would recognize the name Isaac Watts. He is known as the father of English hymns. As a teenager, Isaac Watts came home from the Lord's Day, on the Lord's Day from every service, complaining about the music in his church. Would you put the pause button down for a moment? Thank God we don't have to complain about the music in this church. This great choir, the instruments, the special music, those bells, I thought they'd have me to ring them. I'm a bell collector, but they've never asked me to ring a bell. A great music minister. What else did you tell me to say, Johnson? Just kidding, that's out of my heart, not his. Well, Isaac Watts just kept on complaining and complaining and complaining until one day his daddy said to him, "Son, why don't you write your own music if you think you can do better?" Well, do better he did, for later in life he wrote many hymns, none more expressive of God's gift of joy than what we sang, "Joy to the World." Joy to the world. The Lord is come. Let earth receive her king. Let every heart prepare him room, and heaven and nature sing. Joy to the earth, the Savior reigns. Let men their songs employ, while fields and floods, rocks, hills, and plains repeat the sounding joy. He rules the world with truth and grace, and makes the nations prove the glories of his righteousness and wonders of his love. God's Christmas gift of joy to you is a gift that keeps on giving and giving and giving. Gift number three, the gift of peace. All over the world, people are looking for, seeking for, searching after peace. When the United Nations was born, they said, "We're going to establish peace on this earth." That's failed. That's not the only place they failed, but that's one place they failed. I have lived into and through the first part, at least, of 12 administrations, 12 presidents of the United States. Everyone, I know I don't look that old, but you know the rest of that. Every one of them, without fail, has spoken of permanent, lasting peace. But I'm here to tell you, my friend, I'm bold enough to say it, there will be no lasting peace until the Prince of Peace comes with healing in his wings. Some of you are here this morning searching for peace. You've tried everything else. You've tried money and fame and sex and pleasure and drugs and alcohol and all the rest, and you haven't found peace. I must tell you that peace does not come in a needle or a bottle or a capsule. Peace comes only in Jesus Christ. Someone said, there is a God-shaped vacuum in every life which can only be filled by Jesus Christ. If you look back at verse 6, you'll see those five names that are given to Jesus: Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. And in verse 7, of the increase of his peace, there shall be no end. The King of Peace, the Lord of Peace, the Master of Peace. None of these five names is more meaningful or magnificent, grand or glorious than Prince of Peace. Paul says in Ephesians 2:14, "For he is our peace." One writer wrote, "When Christ left this world, he made his will and last in his testament. He bequeathed his soul to his father, his body to Joseph of Arimathea. His clothes fell to the soldiers, and peace was given to his followers." And that means us. Again, I want to quote Jesus, John 14:27. I love to quote Jesus. Greatest authority the world has ever known. When I quote him, I never have to worry about being misquoted. He said, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." Paul sums it all up in Philippians 4 at verse 6. "Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God that passes all understanding shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." My friend, when the peace that Jesus gives reigns in your heart, all fears are dispelled. All darkness is driven out, and all troubles can be dismissed. Peace is God's Christmas gift to you that keeps on giving and giving and giving. gift number four, the greatest of all gifts, his only begotten Son. It is written in John 3:16. I like to think of John 3:16 as the Bible in miniature. I'm convinced if the Bible had only one verse, and it was John 3:16, it would be enough to save the world. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Someone outlined this verse as follows: God, the greatest lover, so loved the greatest degree, the world, the greatest scope, that he gave the greatest act, his only begotten Son, the greatest gift, that whosoever, the greatest invitation, believeth, the greatest simplicity, in him, the greatest person, should not perish, the greatest deliverance, but the greatest difference, have the greatest certainty, everlasting life, the greatest possession. My friend, I want to tell you, salvation comes not by believing a proposition, but by receiving a person. And that person is Jesus. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood, nor the will of the flesh, nor the will of man, but of God. Hear me, this gift can be yours today by receiving Jesus Christ. And you will discover he's the greatest gift ever given. And he's the gift that keeps on giving and giving and giving. May we stand, please, for our prayer. Our heads are bowed. I realize it's Christmas Eve and families and gatherings and hurry to get out, and I understand all of that. But bear with me a moment. Heads are bowed. Altars open. Invitation has already begun. If God's speaking to your heart, just move right out of your seat. You don't have to wait till we pray. You don't have to wait till we sing. If God is speaking, just step right out of your seat and come to this altar of prayer. While our heads are bowed, I know you want to be honest with God on Christmas Eve, surely. I wonder if there are those who would say, "Preacher, I've heard you preach, and you've talked about the gift of God. You've talked about salvation by grace, receiving Christ, and I've never done that. I've never been saved. I'm lost. If I were to die today, I know that I would go to hell." You don't want to do that, my friend. You don't have to do that. Jesus died in your place. He suffered hell for you. I wonder if you'd be honest enough and bold enough and brave enough to just slip your hand up and say, "Preacher, you're talking to me now. I've never been saved. I don't want to die without Christ. I want to be saved. Pray for me. Pray for me. Pray for me." Would you put your hand up? All over. Anywhere. All over. God sees every heart. God sees any hand. Maybe you're here today and you are carrying a heavy load. You've come seeking something today. You can find it in Jesus, whatever your need is. I promise you. I promise you. He will not turn you away. He will help. He will bless. He will strengthen. He will save. He will give you what you need in this hour. I'm going to pray. Brother Johnson's going to lead us in the invitation appeal. You're going to step out of your seat with a heavy heart, a burdened heart, a prayer burden. You might want to just come and say, "I want to thank God for Jesus, for Christmas, the gift," whatever. Father, we thank you today for this hour, for this day, and for what it means to us. the birth of thy son may be born in the hearts of people today. May lift the burdens. May fill the empty spaces. People have tried everything. Help them to try Jesus, to trust him. In his name I pray. While we sing the first stanza, while our heads are bowed and the Holy Spirit is speaking, you step out and join these that have already come. Would you do that?